I guess we better say something important now.
Yes, everything is important.
Buddy, Dr. Joe Vitale here. Welcome to the Attract Wealth number 2 training call. And this is a call for everybody we've invited. I don't know how many thousands of people have registered to be on this call, but this is a training call to help you with your finances and with your wealth and your wealth mindset. All of the speakers at the Attract Wealth event that's going to be held in January in Austin, Texas, I think all of them, with one or two exceptions, are on this call. And we're going to go round table here, each taking a turn to give you 10 or 15 minutes of training on how to attract wealth. At the end of this call, we have some gifts, about 25 of them, including a handful of scholarships to the Attract Wealth event in Austin in January. And so stay tuned, listen carefully, take notes, and then know at the end of this call, about 25 people he awarded some pretty juicy things, including 5 scholarships will go out. So let me begin by seeing who's on the call. Is Mark Ryan there?
Hey, Joe, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Enjoying this evening, going through some we've got a brand new system here. We've used this system before, but they've updated it with quite a bunch of new, including audio technology. So this is a first time playing with it. I've been experimenting for a couple hours. So I'm here and ready to go, and my head is in techie mode. So as soon as you get rolling, I'll go back over to the right brain.
I'll let you be in charge of the techie stuff here.
Okay.
Did you have a sense of who we wanted to go with first here? Since you and I are putting on the Attract Wealth seminar in Austin, and we've got these fantastic speakers, and they're waiting in the sidelines, so to speak, to be brought on stage here. Did you have a sense of who wanted to go first, and did you want to speak at any particular point?
Yeah, definitely I will speak, and I would probably feel more comfortable going towards the end. I want to make sure everybody through the technology is on and clear and can speak.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can go that way, why don't we start on the top of the list for panelists. The first one I have is Mindy Audlin, if you want to start.
Sure.
Mindy. She was also the first
one.
Well,
no, wait a minute. No, don't let her start yet. No, don't say words, Mindy. I have to say something about you. Can you hold your tongue for a moment?
I will do muted.
Please. Well, first of all, I want everybody to know for this Attract Wealth training, but if they want to know who the speakers are that are on this call, go to attractwealthseminar.com. That's www.attractwealthseminar.com. And when you click through for the seminar, you look at the top and you'll see a button for speakers. Click on it, and you'll be looking at a bio and photos, descriptions for all of the speakers at Attract Wealth, most of which are on this call. And one, of course, is Mindy Audlin, who's one of my dearest friends. That's why I wanted to have a chance to introduce you and not just let you start talking. Mindy has been consciously teaching and applying the law of attraction to every area of life for more than a decade. And she teaches a simple process called what-if-upping. That's what-if-upping. And she has guided tens of thousands of people toward the expansion and manifestation of their dreams through this unique, thrilling, inspiring, fun little game method. And I know it firsthand because I have done what-if-upping at least twice with Mindy. She and I put on a seminar together one time in Austin, and then I went to one of her what-if-up clubs in the Wimberley, Texas area, and it was an unforgettable blast. And after doing it, I told Mark Ryan that we have to have Mindy speak at Attract Wealth. So the lady you're about to hear from here is one of my favorite people in the world. She's always upbeat, always charming, always vibrationally high, always inspiring people, and now it's your turn to be inspired by her. So I'm talking about Mindy Audlin. Mindy,
well, Joe,
now
I
you can
speak.
Well,
Joe, said the same thing about you. That's exactly how I would have described you.
No fair copying my intro.
Well, you know, what if the easy way is actually, you know, what if that's the way to go?
This
process that Joe's talking about, it's called what-if-upping. And the premise behind it is that, you know, we all know people who go through their life, and we all have ideas. We all have these million-dollar ideas And the question is, why is it that some people turn those million-dollar ideas into $1 million and some people don't? And the premise, it's not that we lack ideas. It's what do we do with the ideas that we have? And I boil it down essentially to what I consider to be the two most powerful words in the English language, which are the words, you can probably guess, what if. What if? Because some people will take these words and they'll use that question, what if, and they'll take that million-dollar idea, whatever that idea may be, and they will what if down that idea so that they suck all the life out of it. And you may have known people like this. They'll get an idea. What if it doesn't work? What if it's hard? What if it's too expensive? What if it takes too much time? What if someone else could do that idea better than I could? What if somebody already did it? And we start going into this downward spiral with that idea. Great idea, but what we do with it is we just create this sort of vortex that pulls the energy out of it by what if downing that idea. So what we do when we come is we flip that model, and instead of what if downing our million-dollar ideas, we what if up. That is, we use the power of the question what if to expand possibility, to take that idea and make it bigger and better and more exciting than we could have ever imagined. And it's a process you can do on your own, but it's really, really powerful when you can do it with a group of people. So we're going to have a chance to do this together, not only to understand the process, but to come together with a group of, as Joe says, high-vibrating people that are on purpose, people who have these million-dollar ideas. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, we talk about the track. Go ahead.
Well, for the people that are listening right now, because we want to train them into Attract Wealth right now, whether they make it to the Attract Wealth event or not, what can you teach them about thinking in a what-if-up world? Can walk away from this call thinking differently, doing differently, acting differently.
That's a great question. It's as simple as catching yourself in the moment of a downward thought. So what we know about reality is that reality, it all begins in thought. We have all these, thousands and thousands of thoughts every second running through our mind, and each of those thoughts creates a feeling. It is those feelings that either inspire action or don't. So either act or we don't act, and from our actions or our inactions, that creates our reality. So the question is, why is it that some people are always recreating the same old reality? It's like the relationship that doesn't work, the finances that don't work, and no matter what we try, we just keep getting the same old reality. Well, what this allows us to do is basically, if you take the thoughts, it's almost impossible to monitor all of our thoughts. It's crazy-making trying to monitor all of our thoughts. But our thoughts generate feeling. So those feelings, we talk about being able to discern when our feelings are in alignment with our highest self or who we are, however you want to say that. But we can feel when our thoughts and our feelings feel good, when they're exciting, when they're energizing, that's when we're in that creative flow. That's when the ideas come. That's when those million-dollar ideas turn into $1 million, is when we can stay in that space. So the key to being able to do that, it's not in monitoring every thought. It's in going into those feelings and being able to discern through wisdom. It's like, am I feeling pumped up right now? Am I feeling excited? Am I feeling joyful? Am I feeling expectant of good things? Or, you can experience this if you watch the news. It's like, oh, am I feeling scared? Am I feeling fearful? Because those fearful thoughts are going to create different actions, and they probably aren't going to be the actions that reality wants. So the key is to catch ourselves in the feeling. So, for instance, let's say, economic downturn, we look at the news, we see things, and we start getting that sinking feeling. Well, that's when we introduce wisdom, we introduce consciousness, and use this question, what if? What if what others are calling an economic downturn is actually the beginning of something that is beyond what we can even imagine now? What if all of this economic turmoil that is creating such fear, what if this is really laying the groundwork for more financial opportunity than we have ever experienced in the history of the world? So it all begins with the question. Are we asking, what if this is the next depression? Or are we asking, what if this is the next great opportunity?
I love that. I love that. And I can feel the difference just when you start describing it. And I know firsthand, having been there when you walked everybody through how to do a what if, you actually can get very, very high from this. And I mean this in a very positive, nurturing way, to the sense that nothing will stand in your way. You're ready to take action, and you're optimistic that the action you're going to take is going to take you in the direction of your dreams, where most people go with what if down, meaning that they just turn it into something negative. What if it doesn't work? Instead of asking, what if it does work? And what if it works in the most glorious, unexpected, joyous way ever imaginable?
Exactly. It allows us to take inspired action versus taking fear-based action. And
that's a million-dollar tip. But it invites you to take inspired action
fear-based action creates the same old reality, but inspired action, that creates a whole new world.
I love it. I love it. And I love you. I will see you soon, and we will see you
unmuted
at the Attract Wealth Seminar. Mark, do you have any questions, Mindy?
I think that really she's put a beautiful turn on some things that I've done myself and added to it and made it easier. The what if, there's a lot of people out there, you know, certain people have learnings. They do it by how, they do it by why, they do it by what, and they do it by what if. And I'm a big what if person, so I'm really excited about Mindy being there and learning more of what she has.
Well, I can't wait to be there myself. And it's interesting because you'll find as you get into circles of people where they're, you know, just successful, happy, joyful, abundant, wealthy, rich, and I'm talking rich, like inner rich, as well as outer rich, you find that that's sort of a natural way that these people think. And so we are literally rewiring our brain every time we take a what-if-down thought and we flip it and into a what-if-up thought.
Yeah.
So that's the invitation.
I know I was on a
Thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I know I was on a teleseminar with Bill Hibbler, who was at the first Attract Wealth, and one of the ladies on there had, that's exactly one of the techniques that I use, along with a little bit of hypnosis and NLP. She kept seeing how everything was going to be in the red, and we switched the colors to in the black. And months later, by using that what-if technology, getting into it a little bit deeper and specific, which I'm sure you're going to do, that she wrote me back and said she's seeing the black because of the what-ifing. What if this happened? What if it was black instead of red? So really excited about this, Mindy. Thanks.
That's great. My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me in.
Sure.
Thanks again, Mindy. Mark, I would like to select the next person.
You got it.
How about Joe Sugarman? Joe, are you around?
Yes, I am.
Well, hold one second here because I want to introduce you too. Joe Sugarman, I am proud to say, is one of my dear friends. He is a marketing mentor to me, as well as a spiritual mentor to me. He is a living legend. This is a man who in 1970
muted
elected as the Direct Marketing Man of the Year in New York. In 1991, he won the prestigious Maxwell Sackheim Award for his creative career contributions to direct marketing. This is the man behind Blue Blocker Sunglasses, which is how most people will know him. But he is also the author of some absolute masterpieces, including a very early book that most people don't know about, but I actually have two or three copies of, called Success Forces. He went on to write some Bibles of marketing, including Advertising Secrets of the Written Word, Marketing Secrets of a Mail Order Maverick, and Television Secrets for Marketing Success. He also wrote a book that is something everybody should have, Triggers, 30 Sales Tools You Can Use to Control the Mind of Your Prospect to Influence, Motivate, and Persuade. The Copywriting Manual, which is a it's something anybody who does any sort of sales copy should have at their elbow. Joe Sugarman is a genius. He's got one of the biggest hearts I've ever met of anybody. When I was grieving several years ago of the loss of my late wife at that time, Joe Sugarman, who did not know me at the time, had not met me but once in a seminar years before, opened his home and asked me to come out to Maui and help me to heal. And I'm kind of teary-eyed to think about that. But Joe Sugarman is going to be one of the speakers at the Attract Wealth Seminar in Austin. And I'm very excited about that, and I'm very excited and honored to say he's on the call now, and he's going to be talking on some tips on how to attract wealth. So, Joe, thank you for being here. Thank you for being you, and I'll let you speak.
Well, Joe, thank you very much for the wonderful introduction. If I have one thing that I'm proud of, the fact that I've probably failed more times than anybody else on this call. I have failed at so many different things that it would make your head spin. But here are my philosophies, and I think I'd like to share them with you briefly. First of all, there's a spiritual principle that says whatever you focus on expands. So if you focus on your business, it'll expand. If you focus on good health, your health will get better. But what happens when you focus on money? And I would ask an audience this, and everybody would say, oh, well, the money expands. And that's not true. Now, what actually, money is really a symbol of work and effort. And so when you focus on money, your work and your effort increase, but not necessarily the money. If you want to make a lot of money, what you focus on is helping others in what you do. And that's been my philosophy through my whole life. I've noticed it, for example, even in selling products. You take blue blocker sunglasses, for example. When I started selling that, there were very few people who, in fact, really nobody knew that ultraviolet light was really bad for your eyes and caused cataracts. And so what I did was I talked about all of the dangers of the sun and the lack of the blocking ability of most sunglasses and sold blue blocker sunglasses, because not only do we block all the ultraviolet light, but we block the dangerous blue light as well. And because I educated the market, and I look at all the people I've saved in terms of their eyesight, in terms of cataracts, and all sorts of things. There are a lot of benefits. Plus, I caused the entire sunglass industry to change their methods of operation to make sure block ultraviolet light so that they can be competitive. So there's a good example. One of the things that I, by the way, Joe, I don't want this to become a monologue. If you have a question, please.
Sure. I'm sitting in rapt attention here, but if I think of something, I'll ask. But keep on going.
Well, I have a couple of philosophies that I, when I get up to talk, everybody expects me to talk about all these wonderful successes, and I really get a big kick out of talking about the failures I've had, because some of them are actually pretty funny, and they are very entertaining, and people love stories. But the overlying philosophy I've always had is that I'm never attached to any outcome. And the second part of that is whatever happens, happens for the best. So when I go into a venture, when I look at something, when I look at that million-dollar idea that Mindy was talking about, I look at it in a negative way. I look at it as saying to myself, no matter what happens, this is going to be a benefit for me. I might not see it in the beginning. I might not see it after a while, but eventually I'll see the benefit in this opportunity. And so I'll tackle it. I'll go ahead and I'll try, because I know that whatever happens, happens for the best. And because of that, I'm going to benefit in the long run. And now there's a story I tell. My cousin is a psychiatrist, and he at one time was employed by the San Diego Chargers, and his job was to determine what it took to become a superstar. Not only just for the San Diego Chargers, but he was going to look around the National Football League and determine what really made a superstar. And he studied all these football players, and he came up with two conclusions. And I'm going to ask you, Joe, in a minute, if you can see what these conclusions have in common. The conclusion he came to was that either you were a deeply religious person, in other words, a football player just totally had trust in God and believed in God, or the person had a tremendous ego, a very big ego, thought they were the best, the greatest. Now, you know what's common in that those relationships?
I will say belief, but I don't know if I'm right.
You're absolutely correct.
Absolutely. Oh, well, I win. Do I win one a pair of blue blocker sunglasses?
No, one of the 25 prizes you're offering.
Okay. But it's belief, okay.
Yeah, it's belief. And if you believe something, it's amazing how powerful that is. And throughout my career, I always believed I would be a success. I don't care how many times I try. If I fail or I lose or whatever happens, I know I'm going to be a success. I feel it, I believe it, and I'm going to do it. And sure enough, in time, of course, that belief really came to failures. I mean, there were times where I said, boy, how does this benefit? And eventually I did quite well. Now, those are basically my philosophies, Joe, and I don't want to dominate the session here, but those are basically my philosophies. And in our session, when I talk in Austin, it's going to be some beautiful examples of how these things work and how you can get them to work for yourself. And some of the things that I've learned, some of the things that are kind of unusual in the sense that they're not the common everyday philosophies that you hear, but rather unique approaches worked extremely well for me when I've used them and really caused me problems when I haven't. And that's probably one of the bases of Success Forces, because it listed those things you can do that are very positive in your life and really help you, and by doing the opposite, you really create a lot of negative things, and a lot of times those things aren't really very obvious. So that's my little monologue for tonight. I hope
Unmuted.
And I know that you are one of the most riveting and entertaining and even hypnotic speakers I've ever heard. So I think everybody should come to hear you, and you don't even speak that often anymore. So I think this is a rare event for you to be at the AttractWell seminar in Austin. And thank you for this wisdom you've just shared. I always learn from you, and even sometimes when I'm reminded of things you've taught me before, it's good to have them brought to my awareness one more time. So this has been great. Mark, if you're there, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. I think more of a comment, and that is, you know, for years, I remember when those first Blue Blocker ads were coming into magazines, and I was totally mesmerized by them. I kept looking at it, and to me, at that time, I was so poor that the money seemed like a lot of money, and I'm like, is this true or not? And every time I saw a commercial or every time I saw that ad or the JS&A products that Joe had, I was totally intrigued. And so he's been a hero of mine for years and years, and I'm going to tell a little story at the Attract Wealth seminar about how he has influenced me. I don't even know if he knows this and how big that was. The other thing is I watched Joe. I went to a Joe Polish seminar back in October 2001, right after 9/11. And Joe was a speaker there, and to me, by far the best speaker. It was the first time I heard him speak, and I was blown away by the quality of how he spoke. But not only that, he did something really neat, and this is one of the big reasons I want him at the Attract Well seminar. I'm so glad he's coming, is he used these psychological triggers while he was talking to his audience and took us into certain states and then explain to us what he did, and it was unbelievable. So Joe doesn't just talk and speak. Joe practices what he preaches, and he practices it in real time.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Glad you're going to be there.
Yeah, thank you, Joe, and I look forward to seeing you in Austin in January.
Okay, great. I just to one last comment. Joe's right. I give two or three talks a year. To be one of those, and I really look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Joe.
Mark, do you want to? Mark, would you like to pick the or invite the next person to speak?
Yes, I have. Let me just get her up on the screen. Her is a clue to who I'm going to have next. I will have to get the AttractWell screen. I have been.
We'll have to argue or arm wrestle on who's going to get to introduce her, because she's one of my favorite people.
All right. Well, you go ahead and then let me add a bit before she comes out. How's that?
You're going to add something right now, or you want to add that?
Go ahead and introduce, and I will add a little bit before Wendy speaks, if that's okay.
Fine with me. Is Wendy there? I want to make sure she's online.
Well, we got
Hello.
Her.
Is that her calling in? What was that?
I have her listed online, and it's there, so.
I'm here. I just I was trying to hit the unmute button on my phone, and I hit the redial button. So can you hear me now?
We can hear you loud and clear. That's quite an unmute button you have there. You might want to turn. You might want to shorten it to one key. Wendy Friesen is one of my favorite people in the world. I go to a hypnosis conference and really hit it off. And we had a booth at that convention, so we would visit every now and then. Then she recently spoke at my Miracles Weekend in San Diego, and she absolutely rocked the house. This person is, no pun intended, mesmerizing. She is charming. She is witty. She is wise. Her site, the Wendy.com site, is one of the most popular hypnosis sites and just does fantastic business there. And I think the important thing to know is that this lovable, likable, incredible woman has not always been wealthy. There was a point when she could not pay to have her electricity on or pay the water bill, and she and her couple of kids were truly struggling, if not downright starving. But she's turned it all around. She knows how to attract wealth. She's now ready to teach people how to attract wealth. She's going to be talking about some of that tonight. And, of course, she's one of our featured speakers at the Attract Wealth Seminar in Austin, January. So, Wendy, you know I love you, and I am really grateful that you're here again. It's always great to hear your voice and do anything with you.
Yes, I agree. Right back at you, Joe. So I'm so excited because you know that one of my favorite subjects is about helping people find out how they're going to have a great relationship with money. And I don't just mean like, oh, yes, I can manifest wealth, but to get them to have a rock-solid core issue that says, and I know this might sound strange to people,
muted,
says, I love money. Now, that sounds probably shallow or egotistical, but think about this. You have these, not you, but some people have struggles with money, where they can't pay the bills, or they're angry and they're resentful, and they're just, they are intensely avoiding every phone call. They don't answer the door, and when they go to put gas in their car and their credit card is turned down, they don't know how they're going to get to work. And here they are, angry at this thing that is no more than a piece of paper with ink on it. And we have this intense relationship with a paper, and we hate it, and we're resentful, or we love it, and we hoard it, and we're greedy, and we try to keep it and not share it and not show our gratitude with money, and all it is this piece of paper. And, you know, I love doing the seminars I've done are called financial abundance seminars, but I decided recently I'm going to change it, and I want to shake things up even in a bigger way. So this is about I love money. Get past all of the resentment and the anger and the greed and all the things that make you push it away. Because, you know, I know that people are manifesting and they're trying so hard to say I deserve to be wealthy and good things come to me and it's easy for me to live the life of my dreams. But what if deep down, below your conscious awareness, you actually, when you look at rich people, you have these inner thoughts that they're kind of greedy or that maybe they don't deserve their wealth or in evil way. Maybe you're angry at them and you don't know it. Secretly, like when you see someone driving a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or a Rolls Royce, do you have a feeling? Do you get glitched a little bit? And what I'm going to do in the seminar when we're all in Texas together is have you go out and experience some things to monitor your actual core feelings about your relationship with money. So we're going to find out if you are getting glitched and if you're maybe you're resentful when you see a really big, beautiful house, but yet you're standing in front of the mirror saying, I deserve to be wealthy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, if people are standing in front of the mirror wanting to be wealthy and they're not, they really feel poor, what's something they can do right now? Is there a tip or, you know, something you can give them to help shift?
Yeah, because one of the things that we want to do is for them to find their real issue with money, to find out if they truly are, you know, deeply fighting themselves, if they have that self-sabotage, you know, people, the fear of failure, the fear of success, whatever it is. If you were to just take time to close your eyes, and this is what I did when I was crying in the grocery store because I had $10 in my hand, and my son wanted a box of cereal that was $5, and that was it. And I thought, how can I keep doing this? And I decided I would never, never, never be poor again, and I know that's a negative affirmation. But I decided that at that time. So anyway, what I did is I closed my eyes and relaxed, put myself into just a little bit of a relaxed state, and I asked a part of me that needed to be poor what it really wanted. Because there is a positive reason for failing, for sabotaging your success, for pushing away opportunity and money, for procrastinating. There's a positive reason. And that part said, You're not pitiful enough. And I'll tell you, Joe, that just, that yanked me, and it still does when I think about that, even though it's like 10 years later. And I said, well, I asked this part, what else do you want? And it said, you need to be more pitiful. And that one, like, totally put your heads again. And I said, why do I need to be more pitiful? And it said, because then you'll be rescued. I had no idea. I had no clue this was going on inside of me. No idea. And as long as that was going on, there's nothing that I could have done that would let me rise above that, because I had an agenda that said I had to be rescued, and if I was just more pitiful, isn't that wild? Everything changed after that.
When you get that insight, did it just automatically change? Was that like the aha that caused the moment to shift, and you didn't need to? Okay.
It was a bolt of lightning. In fact, what's really nice about finding these hidden agendas, which we're going to actually do in the seminar in Austin, is that you don't have to fix it. You don't have to go, okay, well, now I got 6 months of hard work to overcome this. When we find it, we release it, and we create this communication and relationship with that part that changes everything. Suddenly the struggle's gone. Because of the way that you can't go back to living with that agenda and that conflict. It just, you can't recreate it, because we bring you through it and to the point where you're saying, huh, I wonder if I could love money. Well, it's just paper. Maybe,
Yeah. So you bring them to the point where they find out what their inner unconscious motivation and working was, and once they see that, it sounds like it pops. It's gone forever.
It is. There's a little more work to do, and we do that as a group. But, yeah, most of the time, once you release that, now it's simply not a hidden agenda. With hypnosis, anything that you bring to the surface is now a known entity or thought or belief. Once it's known, it's stored differently in your brain. It doesn't send the chemicals that are the emotions into your body that cause depression and cause sadness, make you give up, make you procrastinate. And it's a chemical state. These molecules of emotion, as Candace Pert calls it, they're in your brain by the memories and the ego states that say, I'm a failure, I'll never amount to anything. My mom said I'm just like my dad, and, you know, and whatever. All these beliefs that are being fueled, or creating chemicals that are fueling your body to be in a state of depression or hopelessness.
This is eye-opening, and this is brilliant. Would you advise the people that are listening to do what you did in the sense, or maybe I should ask you, how would you walk them through doing it right now? Or they can do it after this call. But is it a matter of closing their eyes, asking themselves the question, and how do they know that they're hearing the right part of themselves? How do they know that they're listening to the part of them that needs to be heard?
Well, that's a great question. So what you do is you want to first get the feeling, because our body, mind, soul is just this emotional thing that's waiting for you to identify a feeling. So first find the emotion that is, I'm either frustrated with being poor or making mistakes or self-sabotage, whatever you're get the emotion. Once you feel that emotion when your eyes are closed, give it some shape and some form. Do you feel it in your belly? Do you feel it in your head? Do you feel it in your throat, in your chest? And then notice, is it big or is it small? Is it round or square? Does it have a color or many colors? And get in touch with it as this part that has its own mind and its own thoughts, and it has its own agendas. And once you have that part and you're feeling, is it inside my body or outside my body, then you agree with that part that I'm not going to judge you, I'm not going to analyze you. Whatever you have to say, I'm going to welcome it with love and an open mind. And you ask that part, what do you really want? And you just wait for the answer. And sometimes it's a word or a phrase, sometimes it's an image. You know, like one of my clients, it was like an image of her father, and so we say, okay, now I want you to ask that part, why that image has to do with you being poor. And then she'd ask that part, and with a part telling you, because they're always told you'd never amount to anything, that you'll never make it in this world, and then you ask it again, you know, what else is it that you believe, or what else do you need me to know? And you just kind of keep going down through the layers. That's kind of the simple version.
Yeah.
But that will give people some insights.
Well, I'm very excited that you're on this
call. Unmuted.
Very, very excited to see you again in January in Austin at the Attract Love
Seminar. Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Mark and I have been cooking up some new things that I'm just begging to do with our group.
I can't wait to hear about this. Mark, did you want to ask something of Wendy?
Yeah.
For comment?
We're stirring the pot a little bit. You know, Wendy is not only great at hypnosis, she has created an incredible hypnosis site that is well known. If you go around to different seminars, you'll hear her name if they're going to talk about somebody that knows how to market and do a good job. And Wendy has been sending me these hypnotic emails of saying, Mark, you think we ought to do this, or could we do this? Could we try this? And I'm like, wow, those are great ideas. Yeah, let's do that. So we've got some additional things that we're going to be doing based on so much experience that Wendy's had doing seminars and being part of seminars, things that really do work. And one of those is that Wendy wants to do on Friday afternoon. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a little early. We have the meet and greets from 7 to 9, and we were going to have John Turner right before that with his new technology. And then Wendy said, can we do something in the afternoon? I'm saying, absolutely. So not only will Wendy be speaking on Friday afternoon, and you might want to tell them a little bit about that, you also have some plans for Saturday evening as well. Now, we have Joe's Mastermind that we're going to do the dinner for several hours, and we're going to have other presenters doing other things like we did at the Miracles Weekend. People really enjoyed it. So with that, Wendy, why don't you talk a little bit about Friday and what you've got up for Saturday?
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about Friday because I've done the online show. I do a live show. It's on video Monday through Thursday every day. And I've done this thing with my groups where they brainstorm and they're looking for ideas of, if you had to make $10,000 before tomorrow night at sunset, how could you do that? And I have this process that we use for brainstorming ideas. So with the people that are there Friday afternoon, we're going to be brainstorming for a changing economy. And we're going to find new niches or new ways to market yourself. And it's going to be the result of an amazing collaborative effort of all of these brains in one room that are going to be throwing things out. And the process is going to be really cool. And everyone's going to go away with something, you know, a light bulb over their head. no question about it. On Saturday, you know, those of you who are at Miracles Weekend, oh, my gosh, if you got to come out and drum with us. We were on the beach out there. Mayor Schneider was out there drumming. He was one of our speakers. And he was so excited because we play these djembe drums that you hold easy with your hands. And in this rhythm that I teach you, you beat the old beliefs out of your body, and you're just feeling it and vibrating with the rhythm. And then we stop, you close your eyes, and we do this process, and then you bring in the new belief about what it is that you're moving toward, and we beat that in with the rhythm. And it's amazing. It moves me every time to tears to see how much people get an entirely new belief system.
You know,
because that rhythm and that pulsing.
Yeah, I've seen people and been to different drumming sessions, and it's kind of like, okay, drumming. To watch how the people came back the next day, including Mayor Schneider, the look on his face and the smile on his face, he was a different man. And I'm like, what the heck was
he going was.
On?
He looked at me. I know, that night when we were done, he looked at me in my eyes. He put both of his hands on the sides of my face, and he says, you are my favorite person in the world. So great. I was like, whoa. And my eyes. It was great. So, yes, we're doing that. But, you know, there's still one more thing that I can't tell people, one of the things that I do in the seminar, because it's a kind of a surprise or a secret, and it's a challenge that is going to make you really think about your attitudes about money and wealth. So when I do that, everybody's kind of challenged and surprised in a way that they didn't, you know, they totally didn't expect. So I'm going to, like, sneak up on you from every angle I can to get rid of your issues with money.
She's there to help, and she can do it.
Very exciting.
So, Wendy, thank you for being on this call, and I'm very excited to see you again in January.
Yep, I can't wait to be there. I've never been to Austin. I hear it's a beautiful and amazing place.
I'll show you around. We'll have a party.
Yay. All right. Well, cool. Thank you guys for having me on. This has been great.
Thank you, Wendy. Looking forward to seeing you again.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, would you like to take the next one?
Yeah, and I want to bring up.
I want to remind let me say something real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to remind everybody that this is an Attract Wealth training call. And if you want to know who all these speakers are, you can go to attractwealthseminar.com, click through for the seminar, and look at the top. There's a button for the speakers, and you'll see photos and descriptions for all the people you're hearing from tonight. And also at the end of this training call, we have about 25 gifts, including 5 scholarships to the Attract Wealth event itself, the Attract Wealth Seminar in January in Austin, Texas. Those will all be announced at the end of the call. And also, I will be giving you some wealth training here shortly, and Mark Ryan will be giving you some wealth training shortly. So keep on listening and taking notes as we bring on a couple more speakers. And again, I'll let you do that. I'll let you do the next one, Mark.
Okay. One of the things I want people to understand, too, is one of the big things that is offered when you come to a seminar, and we really encourage this from the Attract Wealth One seminar that we had, was the relationships that people have when they meet each other at these seminars, the friendships and the people that became friends, not only with Joe and I and the other speakers that were there, the people that were in the audience. We continue to get presents, and we get all kinds of great emails of, like, thank you. Just the friends that they met alone were worth the cost of coming to the seminar. So you've got a lot of like-minded people that are going to be there that are going to be encouraging you. And a lot of times where you're at, you're alone. We had a lot of people come up and say, these are my kind of people. Thank you for doing this. It's so wonderful to be around people that have the same thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And I feel encouraged. I feel like I'm empowered now to go out and do something different. So I wanted to bring that part up.
Excellent, excellent.
All right.
And who would you like to introduce?
You know, when we were at the Miracles Weekend in San Diego, we had a you had a mastermind there, and one of the guys there that I was going around, and I didn't know who this guy was, and I remember the next morning I asked you, I said, who was that guy that was on the other day? I said, he really had some good information. And you said, well, that's John Beal. And I'm like, that's John Beal? I imagined him to be some older gentleman, you know, and he's young, good-looking guy at the table. And I said, this is the guy with Make the Difference Network that he started with his daughter, Jessica, and that you always talk about. And he goes, yeah, that's the guy. You said, yeah, that's the guy. So with that, we ended up having breakfast with John Beal. And John is somebody that really goes out of his way to help nonprofit organizations. A lot of times nonprofits think that they sit there and the money will come in, and part of what John teaches them, from my understanding, is no, you need to get out there just like a regular business and learn how to bring money in so you can help people. And like Joe Sugarman said earlier, a big part of what he does, if not everything he does, is to how to help other people. That's the symbology of what money means to him. And with that, let me introduce from Make the Difference Network, John Beal. And Joe, if you want to say a few words ahead of time, too. But, John, welcome.
John, come on board.
I'm here.
Thank you for being here.
I'm honored and
muted.
A little humble coming on after a lineup like that. but it's inspiring. I can tell any of the listeners that happen to be thinking about participating in Austin. That being in the audience is, quite frankly, very exciting. And to even when you're a speaker, it allows you to move your mind and it creates new ideas. When you sit through any one of those experiences, you are able to walk away with so much. Simply enhances the work that you're doing, and of course, the work that I'm involved in at Make the Difference Network is really trying to use the amazing technology that exists in the world today, internet technology, in a cause-oriented kind of perspective. So we've created a cause-oriented social network where individuals and businesses, celebrities, are all there dedicated to helping nonprofit organizations raise money, connect with donors and their supporters, to build virtual communities. You know, we talk about all those wonderful ideas, and I'm always amazed when I work with nonprofits. Their boards are full of some of the most successful people in the community. And I look at the way they run their operations, and I wonder what happened to the translation from all the success that lives in those boards. Why it isn't translated into the organization? There's not a person on this call who's running an organization who wouldn't try to apply the best of technology, and why wouldn't you do that as a nonprofit? We try to, try to create that opportunity for nonprofits. And just so that people know, you can go to Make the Difference Network, mtdn.com, and it's free to any entry level. It's free at entry level membership to any registered nonprofit, and we never take a penny of any donations. So you can go and look around and have fun and be inspired just by going there. And in January, what I want to do is start a little bit theoretically and explain what gifts in our personal and professional lives. And I'd like to provide some tools on how to leverage our understanding of giving and receiving, to create more wealth in our lives. While we're together in Austin, what I want to do is the magic of giving as a group. So I'm working with Joe and Mark to plan some actual giving experiences. I'm going to see how comfortable they are with me pushing some of their limits as well. I guess if Wendy can do it, I can do it. And I also want to define and examine the importance and the prevalence of co-marketing in, say, this tumultuous business climate. Because I suspect that many of the people who will be in that room, they certainly all have, they most likely have jobs, and quite frankly, many of them run in their own business. And we're going to look at ways to capitalize and